At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. A Confederate monument is staying put for now at a park in Oaklawn following a last-minute ruling. U.S. District Judge Sidney Fitzwater granted a temporary restraining order this afternoon. A hearing is scheduled for tomorrow. The judge's order came just hours after the Dallas City Council voted to remove the statue of Robert E. Lee from Lee Park. Council members heard from dozens of people, both for and against the removal. Dick Sennendorf told the council it was a double standard to talk about removing the Lee statue without discussing the removal of a mural of Lee Harvey Oswald in Oak Cliff.
If the left is serious about having moral authority to take down a statue of a Confederate general, where's the outcry about a mural of a criminal like Oswald?
The city council voted 13-1 to remove the statue. Among the yes votes, council member Dwayne Carraway.
The display of public Confederate monuments glorifying Confederate causes does not promote a welcoming and inclusive community and is against the public policy of the city of Dallas.
Councilmember Sandy Grayson voted no, saying there were several people in her far North Dallas district who wanted to keep the statue. Councilmember Ricky Callahan abstained. He pushed for a referendum to delay today's vote and put the issue to voters, but that measure failed. Now to think, in the science of good and evil, scientists believe humans evolved to become empathetic. It's why we mostly want to get along with one another. Chris Boyd asked science journalist Udijit Bhattacharjee if it's also possible that at some point we developed the ability to be evil.
The short answer is yes, it is our evolutionary legacy also to be aggressive, to be fierce, to sort of have the tendencies to inflict tremendous harm to others when necessary. And the explanation for that is that just as we, as human beings, we needed to cooperate with each other in organized societies in order to survive, we also needed to compete for resources. So groups of people who were competing within the same geographical territories, they needed to be sort of cold and heartless towards other groups. And so that tendency, the inclination to be able to be extremely violent when necessary, is also very much a part of our evolutionary heritage.
You can find a link to Udijit Bhattacharjee's National Geographic story, What Science Tells Us About Good and Evil, at think.kera.org, where you can also subscribe to the podcast. This episode airs again tonight at 10. Casanova was the notorious womanizer of the 18th century. He was also a celebrated writer and diplomat. A new show at the Kimball Art Museum portrays his glamorous world. Art and Seek's Jerome Week sat down at the Kimball with Frederick Ilchman, the show's co-curator, to learn about a charmer who could name-drop Catherine the Great and Benjamin Franklin.
Frederick Ilchman.
It's great to be here.
Choosing Casanova as a guide to the 18th century is a no-brainer. He knows everyone from Voltaire to Catherine the Great. He travels throughout Europe, from Moscow to England, and he reinvents himself from being born poor in Venice to hobnobbing in courts and palaces. With all that, how can you focus this show?
Well, we wanted to use Casanova as our vehicle. He's our guide. He will bring the museum visitor right to the heart of 18th century culture. We have lots of anecdotes from his life because he wrote famous memoirs, basically the world's longest autobiography, full of great social asides and cutting commentary and self-revelation and embarrassing anecdotes. It's all there. And so everything in the exhibition had to be from Casanova's lifetime. He was born in 1725, dies in 1798. So everything in the exhibition, with one or two exceptions, comes from the 18th century. There are sections about travel, or the pleasures of dining, theater and masking. Casanova was a real shapeshifter, a bit of a charlatan, but immensely charming. And so the section on amorous pursuits, these are erotic topics, some of them relatively innocent, other ones really quite explicit and sexy, but all there to conjure up this fascinating world of the 18th century.
If you just list the painters, Hogarth, Canaletto, Joshua Reynolds, this would make a remarkable exhibition. But the decision was made to make this a kind of theatrical, immersive experience. We walk into rooms and it's like walking into a salon. Why?
One reason for these immersive settings is to convey a very important point. We might look at art today in isolation, the masterpiece against the blank wall, but in the 18th century, things were thought of as ensembles, and room was much more than the sum of its parts. You'd have beautiful paneling and fabrics, and other things like paintings or furniture would go against walls. There'd be sculptures, and then, of course, sometimes the most beautiful works of art would be clothing that people would wear in these spaces.
With painters like Fragonard and Boucher, you have gallery after gallery full of bright pink flesh. This is the great age of the seduction. And of course, Casanova is pretty much the poster child. It's in the air, and it's certainly in the art. Why? What happened?
I think it's fair to say that a lot of the formality in all levels of life became loosened in the 18th century. And part of it comes from the top. Rulers of countries would often have acknowledged mistresses and lovers, and everyone would take someone on the side. And there's a real sense, you see this in Casanova's memoirs, that spontaneous racy encounters happened all the time. And if we think about the major artists of the 16th century, boy, most of your work, if you're a painter or a sculptor, would be for the church. But by the 18th century, by the mid-1700s and the age of Casanova, rather than make it in the church, the way to do it was to attach yourself to Frederick the Great, to Catherine the Great, major rulers in Europe, hoping for an appointment.
And so private patrons turn to private subjects. So this is one of the most voluptuous exhibitions I think the Kimball has put on. Everything here is tactile. It glints with silver and gold.
I think that's an important point about just how glamorous and luminous and splendid. And that gets back to this idea of theatricality. And Casanova came from a theatrical context. His mother was an actress. He was a violinist. Wherever he went to a new town, he wanted to be around ballet dancers or musicians. That was his default. And there's a real sense of glamour in the mid-18th century, and Casanova really embodies this.
Frederick Ilchman, thank you.
It's been a treat. Thank you.
Casanova, The Seduction of Europe, runs at the Kimball through December 31st. Visit artandsig.org to check out paintings and other items featured in the exhibition. And for 25 years, KERA-TV's show Frame of Mind has presented the work of Texas filmmakers. Bart Weiss is the show's longtime producer. He sifted through hundreds of hours of footage to create a retrospective reflecting the show's history. Weiss said a theme has emerged from the years of documentaries, dramas, and animation.
Well, there was always the kind of quirky, look at strange things that are happening in Texas, the quirkiness of our culture. And of course, the people who make these and their diverse interests. We have people who make carefully constructed narratives and people who have very loosey kind of experimental thinking. So there is no such thing as a typical Texas film or typical Texas filmmaker.
You can watch a free screening of Frame of Mind's 25-year retrospective. It's tonight at 7 at the Texas Theater. And the 25th series of Frame of Mind kicks off tomorrow night at 10 on KERA-TV. Learn more at artandsig.org. And coming up tomorrow morning, the crowds at the Venice Film Festival are getting the first look at some of the most important films of 2017. One half of our big screen team has been taking in the scene, and his envious partner who's stuck here in the KERA newsroom gives him a call to check in. That's tomorrow at 8:22 during Morning Edition. Tonight, you can expect mostly clear skies, low around 61. Tomorrow should be sunny with a high near 86. And tomorrow night, mostly clear with a low around 63. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.